This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So straight away, we are going to talk to our good friend and analysis show team member, Charlotte Rigby, who is on the show to talk us through reaction to that league victory away at Norwich and, of course, cup victory. Charlotte, let's start with the league. Everybody was telling us, as they have done all season, Norwich was going to be our toughest test yet. We were going to come up against opposition that we'd not come across before. This would be the end of our winning run. Norwich would be the ones that would stop us in our tracks. Not so much. Easy. I say easy. Probably not that easy, but a comfortable 3-0 victory away from home, I think.
Yeah, I quite like hearing now that the team are going to stop us in our tracks. I'm like, oh, go on then. Let's see what we can do about it. And yeah, there was a lot of the in the know telling us that we weren't going to have a team, that it's going to be a team full of kids. Our third lot, that everyone were ill or injured. So it was an interesting one to go into. And then obviously the lads got off the bus and you thought, actually, no, we do have a team. There's a couple of first team players that might be out, but it's not like we're fielding the kids against them. And yeah, when they made that mistake and it just, Zaha just clicked it, and I thought, oh, well, it's got to go our way now. It's got to go our way. And there's so many teams that we see him playing out from the back like that against us. It's not like we've not nicked the ball off them, doing it time and time again.
I know.
And I can't believe that that's still something that they're trying to do. When you see the likes of when we played against Sheffield, who weren't playing that way against us, who went in really quite direct and battered us, that's the way to beat us, you know, like from what we've seen. So it's so surprising to see these teams still coming in, playing it out from the back. And yeah, when Zaha nicked that. I wasn't at the game on Saturday. I watched it on the TV and actually missed that first goal because Sky was still playing the replay.
We all missed it.
Yeah. So everyone else who was watching it on Sky will probably understand that. So that's how quickly it happened and how opportunistic it was. And it was just such quick thinking, fantastic finish as well in the end for him. We saw the debut as well of Ekdal on there, and I thought it was absolutely fantastic. What a dream debut there to come on, have a shift like that and then to get a goal as well. Yeah, it's not much to complain about from Saturday. I was talking to my dad and he went, I can't believe we've beaten 3-0. Everyone's saying to us, you know, this is the one we're going to slip up on. But we'd heard it the week before, as you keep saying, when we were playing West Brom, we were meant to slip up against them as well. But what a fantastic victory. And it just solidifies that bit that, yeah, you can be missing a couple of players, but we have such a good squad now that you can take a few out and still have a dominating performance.
Yeah, definitely. I did have a chuckle, actually, when Tim Krul passed that horror ball out to Anas Zanouri. Some of the reports that I've seen are calling him the menacing Moroccan who got hold of that ball and put it in the bush. I like that. There's absolutely nothing menacing about Anas Zanouri at all. He's the sweetest, loveliest, smiliest little face you've ever seen in the world. So maybe with his feet, he's menacing. You touched on there, Charlotte. We had heard all the horror stories before the game about basically we're going to be playing our under-18s. I think the biggest rumours going around were that there was no Jay, no Cork, no Brownhill and no keeper, which would have been an interesting selection. The one I was going to bring on a second, obviously, you've already touched on this, so we don't need to dwell on it again, was, of course, the debut for Ekdal, who was incredible and sealed that debut as well with a goal. What does he bring to that centre-half position, even now in his debut, that Charlie Taylor doesn't? And secondly, does Ekdal go in priority over Charlie Taylor at centre-half?
Yeah, we all know I love Charlie Taylor. I absolutely think he's fantastic, and he did a job for us while we were missing someone there in that centre-half position. But now, after that performance, I'm pretty sure Ekdal does need to start ahead of him there, and that's something that Taylor's probably thought of himself. It's not going to be a surprise to him. It's a more natural position for him. He was fantastic defensive-wise, and obviously he looked to go forward as well. As you can see, he got his head on the end of a cross, which came from a proper corner, I must say, as well.
Yes, not a proper corner.
Short corner.
You're not a fan,
really,
are you?
Me. I'm not a fan. And there's so many people that say to me, we don't have the people to get on the end of them. That's why they have to. Well, now we've proved it. Two at the weekend. So we'll go back to our proper corners, please. Thank you. I'm happy for them to prove me wrong against Preston and score from five short corners. Fine. But no, a proper corner. And yeah, he kind of has that more confidence about him. I guess you can tell when Charlie Taylor's playing, he's playing in that position because he has to, and he does a job, and he does not the most pretty job of it, but he does do a job. But yeah, after that, you can't fault Ekdal for coming in. And it's I thought the same, I know we'll touch on the cup game afterwards, but with Aldakil as well, I thought he had a fantastic game, and there's so much kind of competition around that area now, which is nice to see. It's nice to see, but I do feel sorry for Taylor a bit, because you can't see him getting that much more game time now if he's going to stick with his proper positions, which they've proven that they should.
Yeah. Okay, let's take this one step further then. I'm going to really put you on the spot now. What do you do when Taylor Harwood-Bellis is back from injury?
I see. A lot of people have said this as well. It depends, doesn't it? It depends on how fit he is once he comes back. If this injury is as nasty as people have been saying, he's so walking across the pitch, he didn't have a supportive boot on anymore. He seemed to be pretty sound on his foot. But if it's as nasty as we're thinking, it's not just a case of he'll be back and then he's back. You know, he might need easing back into it, which is absolutely fine. And at the moment, we do have a lot of games, and if we manage on with this cup run, we'll have more games. And that squad rotation is something that we're so lucky to have. So I think once he's back to full fitness, it might not even be until the start of next season when he's back to what he was, and then we might not have as much of a problem. We don't know who's still going to be here at the start of the Premier League season. But if you were to ask me if he was completely fit come the end of the season, last few games to play, I'd have Harwood-Bellis on there. Yeah. I just think he's so solid. He's absolutely solid. And yeah, if Ekdal or Aldakil come in and they score millions of goals while also defending, then prove me wrong. But I haven't seen as much of them, and I can absolutely rely on Harwood-Bellis.
Love it. That's the answer I was looking for. Thank you, Charlotte. Before we move on to look at the cup game, our final comment on that Norwich victory, one of your favourite topics to talk about. So I'm going to, you know, I'd like to spoil you. The reincarnation mark 456 of the one and only Sir Ashley Barnes. What a phenomenal performance from that boy.
He likes to keep us guessing, doesn't he? Soon as he starts hearing people, oh, Barnes, he's past it. We've got all these new strikers in. He's never going to play a minute of football again. He's like, oh, my God. He absolutely knows that he has something to prove. And I thought he was brilliant. And I love the part of Barnes now, which he seems so excited for this team as well. I mean, he's a Burnley lad, but he just seems so excited about these young lads that he's playing against, and he celebrates every goal like it's his own, and that brings something to it as well. But yeah, I thought he was absolutely phenomenal. His hold-up plays, a reincarnation. It was absolutely fantastic to see him back to the best of Barnes. And as you say, it's difficult to find a hard word for me to say about Barnes, you know, but even I could say, oh, he were a bit hit and miss, but no. That's it now. He's got to be in there now, as long as he carries on playing like he is. And again, a lot of people have said the same about Jay. We can write him off too soon a couple of times. Yeah. And he has had a little bit of a dip in form recently, and I guess he wasn't up for selection at the weekend from what I could remember.
I think he was injured.
I think he was either injured or ill, one or the other, wasn't it? If he's back in, he's had a slight dip in form, but again, we can't write either of those two off. They're absolutely love this club and they've got all the experience, and every so often they'll have a bit of a minute where they just need to take some time to think about their careers and then come flying back, surprise us all. And yeah, I'm still hoping for that hat trick for Barnes against Blackburn. One better.
Excellent. I love it. Okay, before we let you go, I know you've very kindly given us some time this evening. You're going to shoot off and let us go ahead and preview the North End game. Just a quick word about the Cup game. The Clarets huffed and puffed a little bit in the fourth round of the FA Cup. I'm not going to lie. Took two attempts to beat Ipswich, 0-0 down at Portman Road, and a 2-1 victory. I could forget my scores then. Goal scored in the opening minute in the dying seconds of the game by Nathan Teller. How important is a cup run to you, given just how dominant Burnley are in the league? And do you make sacrifices in league games in order to ensure a stronger passage through to potentially a quarter final in the cup?
Yeah, I'm thoroughly enjoying a cup run. I think it's really important. Over the years, we've kind of been told that it's a bit on the back burner, you know, we've got to focus on the league, this, that and the other. But like you say, we're in such a strong position in the league now. I don't think we necessarily need to make sacrifices in either the cup or the league. I saw the cup game on Tuesday that we made a couple of changes and it did seem a bit disjointed. It didn't seem to flow as well as normal. But then he had the option to bring the likes of, I think, Brownhill and Cullen back on, and you did see the difference there. And he can play around with that with the squad rotation. I don't think we need to sacrifice anything in the league as such, and because we still want to win it, you know.
Yeah, no, so, true.
Like, people are on about, you know, they may be saying promotion's pretty much there, but we still want to win it. Like, I still want to win the league and the cup. I want it all. But I'd be really excited to get on a cup run. It's something we've not done in so many years, and it's like they say, the magic of the cup. But I don't think, like I said, we need to make sacrifices on either. I think if he's the strongest team in the league, for definite, I think it's always the most important to anybody, really. It's the ones that you remember. And then your next strongest team in the cup, which will still frighten quite a few opponents, I think, the strongest team. And if you have those first team players on the bench that you can knock in and out of throughout the game if need be, then absolutely fantastic. Even better, it showed that we proved that was beneficial in the cup game. But just, I think once all the players have had more of a chance to, the newer guys, to gel with the team, to train with one another more often, that we won't necessarily see that being as disjointed when we do play our second team as such. So I think we have a really good chance of a decent cup run. Nothing to write off, obviously. It's Fleetwood at home in the next round and anything can happen. Sure. But yeah, I'd be really excited to get into those quarters, even if it means the Blackburn game has to be moved, which would be very frustrating when I've managed to get it booked off work and all this. I'd sacrifice it. I know I'd sacrifice it for a good cup run.
No, you're a good fan. Well, I'm going to let you go, Charlotte. Thank you so much for that input on both the Norwich and the Ipswich victories. And no doubt we'll catch you next week after we look back at the Preston game. Thanks so much. See you later.
No, bye.
And let's, of course, get moving on to the small matter of a Lancashire derby. Clarets are at home again this weekend and it is a championship fixture. We are at home to Lancashire rivals Preston North End. It's a Saturday kickoff, Saturday the 11th of February, 3 p.m. I am joined, we've got rid of Charlotte. We're joined by, obviously, our resident statistician, Dave Roberts, and our FPL expert and analysis show member, Adam Dennett. Gentlemen, we have got a real Lancashire hot pot this weekend. Before we get on to that, though, Dave, we've got a few things of housekeeping matters. Explain yourself, Dave Roberts. Come on, fess up. What happened?
Explain what?
What quiz question did you set our listeners last week?
I forgot to set one, yes.
You certainly did. Well, hilariously, in my mind anyway, listeners might not have thought it was funny, we decided to set our listeners on a creative challenge and try and find out what TBC in Dave's script actually meant. We had one answer come in from our good friend of the show, Andy Richins, who said, Tortellate battered canaries, which I did like very much. I had one from Duncan Wood, who is the a good friend of mine who sits behind me at the turf, who said, he emailed me in. Sorry, this isn't great radio listeners. And he said, TBC definitely stands for Tents Bromley Clock Watching. Absolute nightmare sat behind her. So thanks for that, Dunk. You know, honestly, you get your friends to listen to your podcast and they do nothing but send abuse in. But it was. We don't have a quiz answer for you, listeners, because Dave forgot. Honestly, I'm surrounded by amateurs. Well, before we get into the nitty-gritty of it, let's dive straight in and preview that show, please, because that is, of course, what we're here for. Dave, kick us off, please. We're going to hand over to you. You're going to give us a championship head-to-head, please.
Yep. Although Burnley and Preston North End have been in the same division for 64 seasons, including the current campaign, most of those, 30, were in the top flight, with 8 in the third tier and 2 in the basement division. However, for this feature, we're focusing on the second tier, and there are 23 past home matches for us to take a look back at. 8 of those were prior to the Second World War, and they produced 3 Burnley victories. In January 1904, Burnley, playing in green shirts, produced a dashing display and won 2-1, thanks to a brace from Tommy Aspen. That was the first match on Christmas, the first win, sorry. On Christmas Day 1930 was the second win. George Beale latched onto a misplaced back pass and slotted home after just 6 minutes. That was the only goal in a 1-0 home win. And then in September 1932, the Clarets gained revenge for a recent defeat at Deepdale with a thumping 4-0 win. Those were the three, there were three more second-tier matches, sorry, between the two teams at Turf Moor in the 1970s. There were 2 wins for the Clarets and 1 draw. The victories came in April 1972 by a 1-0 scoreline. That was thanks to Eric Probert's goal, and that was followed by a 2-0 win in August 1972, with 1 goal from Leighton James and a spectacular second from Dave Thomas. The two teams drew 1-1 at Turf Moor in the second division in March 1979. And then when we played just over 12 months later, in March 1980, the scoreline was the same, another 1-1 draw. So the remaining 11 matches on our list all took place this millennium. And the Clarets have once again had the better of the Lilywhites with 7 wins, 1 draw and just 3 defeats in the recent second-tier meetings on home soil. We began the millennium with a hat-trick of home victories. In April 2001 by a 3-0 scoreline, with goals from Ian Moore, Kevin Ball and Glenn Little, followed by a 2-1 win in March 2002, with goals from Ian Moore and David Johnson. The hat-trick of home wins was completed the following season with a 2-0 win in April 2003, after goals from Dimi Papadopoulos and a thunderous Robbie Blake free kick from 30 yards. After a 1-1 draw in March 2004, Burnley were back to winning ways the following season with a 2-0 win in December 2004, when that little magician, Robbie Blake, scored both of the goals, including another spectacular long-range free kick just before half-time. After a 2-0 defeat in January 2006, Burnley chalked up a victory later that year in October after coming from behind to score twice in the last 10 minutes through a Sean St. Ledger own goal and a late winner from Andy Gray. With a trademark header. The Clarets suffered a 3-2 reverse in December 2007 in a controversial match which saw the dismissals of Chris McCann and Joey Goodjohnson by referee Lee Mason, who somehow also missed a blatant handball on the line by Preston's Matt Hill in just the second minute of the match. We managed to put that disappointment behind us and won the next match 3-1 in September 2008. And following a season in the Premier League, there was a very memorable match in September 2010, but the details of that are going to have to wait until our memory match feature later in the episode. The most recent meeting between the two teams at Turf Moor was in the 2015-16 season, and that resulted in a 2-0 away win. That was in December 2015, with Will Keane, Michael's twin brother, scoring the opener, and Daniel Johnson scoring the other. This was also the last time that Burnley lost a championship home match at Turf Moor. We've won 20 and drawn 8 of our 28 home games in this division since that loss in 2015. Finally, for this section, Burnley's overall home record against Preston North End at this level is played 23, won 12, drawn 6 and lost 5, with 40 goals for and 30 goals against.
Excellent stuff. Now, on the None and Ever podcast and football show, we do like to analyse our opposition celebrity fans, certainly in the second half of the season when we've already looked at head-to-head and who played for both, etc., etc. We have done that again this week. And Dave, you have pulled us out some absolute corkers for our celebrity fan fixture. But you had a bit of a problem getting this list pulled together that I saw.
We did, yeah. The start of the week, it was looking a bit dicey. We thought we might have to rely on mascots and cartoon characters to top up the list of P&E celebrity fans. So we had Deepdale Duck along with Wallace and Gromit. They were there on standby to step up to the mark. Even the North End fan who ripped up her programme in disgust after a team's last-minute defeat at Turf Moor in a soon-to-be-heard memory match was in the running. But the Preston fans have come good and have made some suggestions that now at least give their list of celebrity fans some sort of air of respectability. So do you want to give us the names of the six we've chosen?
I certainly do, Dave. I'm just going to bring up our script here so I know where I've got to because I can't remember these off the head. Now, at number one, Dave has ranked Andrew Freddie Flintoff, retired cricketer, TV presenter and part-time Manchester City fan. I'm not sure I'm putting him number one on the list of Preston fans, but he does come in there at number one. Number two, Nick Park, the animator at Aardman. Of course, Wallace and Gromit, who Dave has already mentioned. Third on the list, Ian McCulloch, Echo and the Bunnymen singer. Bunnymen, is that right? Bunnymen? Bunnymen, I think. Next on the list, coming in at number four, is Wade Barrett, whose real name is Stu Bennett. He's a former wrestler with 1.2 million Twitter followers, which is impressive considering I do not know who he is. I can see why this list was struggling a little bit, Dave. Coming in at number five, we've got Steve Borthwick, a former rugby union player and current England head coach. And finally, coming in at number six is Jess Taylor, who is a singer with one of the noughties, I think, girl band, well, mixed group Liberty X. Now, Adam, last week, we had a very impressive list of celebrity Norwich fans who ended up getting 9 out of 10 and so far leading the table in terms of quality of opposition fans. I get an inkling that you're probably not going to give Preston fans 9 out of 10 for that list.
It's rubbish, isn't it? And to be honest, I wouldn't have been able to name any famous Preston fans. I wasn't aware that Nick Park were a Preston fan. Flintoff, the picture is him in a City shirt, so that, I think, says it all. And, I've not really heard of the others on the list, so I don't know if I'm the right person to give a score, but I'd probably go...
Go on, give us a score. A
3 out of 10 for me. Maybe
3 out of 10? Wow, that's really harsh. Dave, you are our moderator. Are you going to allow Preston fans 3 out of 10?
I'm not getting involved. I put the list out there and I leave it to others to decide.
You're not getting involved. It's your job. You are the preview show moderator. That's what you have to do. Come on. Are you allowing
to list. I think 3 is a bit harsh. I'd have gone higher than that.
So go on. Give us the moderated score.
Well, I was going to go for 5. Should we go halfway and go for 4?
That'll do me. So Preston fans, I'm sorry to say, you are currently bottom of our league table, although there is still half a season, the remainder to go. So you may get off the bottom of the table. But right now, I'm afraid to say that you are ranking quite low in our celebrity opposition fan list. Dave, handing back over to you then, please. Do you want to give us what you've chosen as your memory match? I think we've already had a little bit of a sneaky peek what this might be.
Burnley had an indifferent start to life back in the Championship following an immediate relegation from the Premier League at the end of the 2009-10 season. But Brian Laws experienced one of his better days as Burnley manager in this memory match against Preston North End at Turf Moor on the 11th of September 2010. Once again, the Sky cameras were there to provide live coverage and the match was a tea-time kickoff on the Saturday. Keith Tracy was among the players lining up for the visitors. He would go on to join Burnley the following summer. And Burnley's starting lineup included former Preston North End players Graham Alexander and Ross Wallace. Darren Ferguson was in charge of the Lilywhites, and his dad, Sir Alex, was sat in the director's seats, along with his assistant, Mike Phelan, former Burnley player, of course, and Burnley fan, Alistair Campbell. The Clarets got off to a good start, taking the lead with a goal from Chris Owelamo in just the 9th minute, but the visitors levelled through Adam Barton after 23 minutes. And after 32 minutes, it was that man, Keith Tracy, who put North End into a 2-1 lead, and that was the score at half-time. Things got worse after 70 minutes when John Parkin scored at the cricket field end to put the visitors 3-1 up. But the dismissal of Billy Jones for a second yellow card after 78 minutes seemed to give Burnley hope. And we used a numerical advantage in our favour when former Preston player Graham Alexander set up Chris Owelamo to score his second of the match and reduce the deficit to just 1 with 6 minutes remaining. Into the 88th minute, and Graham Alexander was the provider yet again, for Chris Owelamo to finish with a glancing header past Andy Lonergan, to level the scores and complete his hat-trick. We thought that might have been that, but Burnley weren't finished, and there was still time for a late winner as Ross Wallace crossed for substitute Jay Rodriguez to head in the winner in the 90th minute. As dramatic matches go, this one was right up there, and let's hope this Saturday's match will be just as entertaining, although we won't want to have to rely on having to score 4 goals to make certain of victory this time.
No, definitely not. Well, listeners, you know we do like to bring you a bit of an opposition view. We don't like to just talk about our opposition like we know them, like we're friends. This week, we have Preston fan Rob Edwards, not the Luton Town manager, I would add, who's going to give us his thoughts ahead of the game.
Well, where do I start with North End this season? We're mid-table, probably where we should be. Maybe we should be a little higher, but going off our budget, we're not in a bad position. Off the field, there's a lot of apathy towards the board, towards Peter Ridsdale. Fans are divided. On the pitch, we've had some good results, mostly away from home. If we went off our home record, we'd be rock bottom of the league. If you compare it to our away record, we're actually, almost in promotion form away from home. So, going to side like Burnley, normally they're flying top of the league. They're good at home. I've probably got more hope for us than if we were playing at home, to be honest. Sides come to Deepdale, stop us playing. At least when we're away and a side comes on to us, we can try and hit them on the break. Best performance of the season so far, probably away at Rovers. 1-4-1. At Rovers, they had a go at us. We were allowed to stop them playing out from the back. Some lovely one-touch stuff. And that's probably been our best performance. Defending, start of the season, we were brilliant defensively without picking up many points. And then as soon as we started to ship a few goals, things have become a lot harder. We've got some good players. Daniel Johnson on his day is brilliant. Obviously Burnley fans know Robbie Brady. He puts a great ball in, but we've just not had anybody to put it in the net. We've brought 2 new strikers in over the January transfer window, Delap and Cannon. Hoping for a little bit more from them. Seem to inject a little bit of pace into our attack. It's just getting them on the ball, seeing what they can do, and also, them getting used to the team. But having said all that, we've still got a really unbalanced side. We've no recognised right wing back. We use Brad Potts there, use Alan Brown there. They're both midfielders. Been crying out for 2 seasons now for a new right wing back. We haven't got one. And I do think sides like Burnley, they get the ball out wide and, you're going to cause us all sorts of problems. So I'm really hoping a bit of damage limitation despite our away form. I do think Burnley will win. I do think it'll be 2 or 3-1. And as for us, I can see us lining up to defend, playing 3 centre-backs, probably Lindsay, Story, Hughes, Brady on the left, either Potts or Brown on the right, midfield looking Whiteman, McCann, maybe Ledson if he wants to play 2 holders, and then Cannon and Delap up front, maybe with Ched coming on after an hour. Ched's been our main bright spark this season. There's a lot of fans are divided on him playing for Preston, but he gives 110%, and sometimes it's all you can ask when players weighs in with a few goals. Can't really ask any more from him. We've got not much strength on the bench. We've got Alvaro Fernandez, Spanish lad on loan from Man United, but he doesn't get picked. He's a bit too creative for Lowe. Lowe, this is the same Lowe who came in and said he wanted to play progressive, exciting football. And the football he plays seems to be anything but. Like I said earlier, there's a lot of apathy towards the board. Could they have backed us more? There's a lot of apathy towards Lowe. He seems to talk a really good story, talking about the attacking football that he plays, but we're just not seeing it. And anybody with any attacking intent, it just seems to be coached out of them. Hoping for a result, but 2-3-1 Burnley for me.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Okay, moving on to the game itself. And I think before we actually start to analyse how we think the game's going to go, just a quick word about our referee. It's going to be 14-year-old. We do not have a junior referee playing this game.
Starting them young these days.
Yes, I mean, I know the championship standard of refereeing isn't that great, but I assure you, we're not going down to 14-year-olds. 40-year-old, I'm afraid to say. 40-year-old Darren Bond of Ormskirk will take charge of the match this Saturday afternoon. He has had the whistle for three previous Burnley matches and we haven't won any of them. That does not look good. Following a 2-2 draw against Leeds United at Turf Moor in the League Cup in 2017, the visitors progressed after a penalty shootout and his other two matches have been this season. They were 1-1 draw at home to Luton Town in August and the 5-2 defeat against Sheffield United at Bramall Lane in November. So there you go. That is going to be your referee. Adam, let's start with you, please. We're going to preview this game. The Clarets just keep relentlessly marching on in the Championship. Before we start this, well, actually, as it stands at the moment, before we play the games on Saturday, they are 7 points clear at the top of the table above Sheffield United in second place, 17 points clear of Borough in third place. They are a 9-game winning streak. If they win at the weekend against Preston, they will equal the club's record, which has been in place since 1913. We haven't scored 10 consecutive games since 1913. And interestingly, 10 consecutive wins in the Championship is Reading's, is a current Championship record, which is Reading's from 2006. So the Clarets this weekend have an opportunity to get themselves into the record books. That said, Adam, Derby. How, given Burnley's current form, given Preston's current form, which is a little bit fluctuating, they tend to be very strong away from home, though. I think they've actually got the best away record in the division. How much stock do we put in the fact that this is a derby and all normal rules go out the window?
If you probably, we've done very well in derbies so far this season. I think we've obviously drew at Preston at home to Blackpool, but in the game against Wigan and then Rovers at home, we've performed really well. You've got to be confident going into the game. Preston, although obviously Blackburn are our big local rivals and the game we care the most about. I'm in my 30s and in the late 90s and through the noughties, Preston was the derby game, really. Yeah. Until we got that promotion in 2009. We're probably the most competitive fixture, and it were always like we were at the top of Division 2 with them, with Stan, and then competing at the top of the Championship in the early noughties. And then even in our promotion season, 2009, they made the playoffs. So it felt like we've been on similar paths up until we did get that promotion and they lost in a playoff final and had a couple of near misses and not quite got there. And since that point, we've kind of kicked on and they've gone a bit in the opposite direction. So you've got to say we will be strong favourites going into the game. We were the fact that we were still looked unstoppable at Norwich and had the core of our side out of the team. Muric missing, Howard Bellis, Cork, Rodriguez, Benson, all big players, and we still made it. Okay, I think Norwich played into our hands at the start of the game, but we just played the game perfectly, and just when they looked like getting back into it, Vinny brought on Vitinho, and I were a bit shocked that he took Teller off. I thought he would cause him some problems, and first touch, bang, 2-0, game over.
Yeah.
So it's Preston, like you said, have been a bit shaky, like a lot of the Championship teams this season. There's just no consistency there. They've won 11, lost 11, and they're still only 4 points off the playoffs. So they've still got a lot to play for. I expect them to come and set up and be difficult to beat. It was quite a scrappy game at Deepdale early on in the season.
1-1, that, wasn't it? Was it a draw? 1-1.
Yeah, one apiece, yeah, two early goals. And then we didn't really threaten that much after that. But I think we were still getting... we were still trusting the process at that stage, weren't we?
Oh, gosh.
And we got there quite soon after that. But yeah, really confident. I think we'll see some big players come back in, and I can't see anything other than record-breaking clarets this weekend.
Love it. Dave, obviously we did have that threatened selection headache for that Norwich game. We were being warned about kids playing, no keeper, goodness knows what. And it turned out it wasn't as bad as we first feared. VK did say to us that we were expecting, by the time it came to Preston game, that all the talk would be on what a ridiculous squad we had and how we just had players to spare. Who do you think misses out the weekend? Who do you, assuming that everybody's fit, which we think they are, where do you put each player? Who do you play?
Well, I think in terms of what's been said in the press conferences and the pre-match, it looks like Jay Rodriguez won't be involved.
Okay.
But it sounds like everyone else will be. Yeah, he's got some real choices ahead of him there. I think looking at central defence, that's presumably Bayer's going to come straight back in after being rested for the cup game. It's who you play alongside him. He's got two very good options. Well, he's got three options, hasn't he, really? Because there's obviously Charlie Taylor who could play there as well. Will it be Ekdali? Had such a good game, scored in his debut. And then Aldakeel as well has also come in and done really well. They've both sort of hit the ground running and both look equally capable of stepping in. So that's the first decision to make, perhaps.
Okay, and then make that decision. You do this to me all the time, Dave Roberts, not letting you be a politician. You make that decision. Who are you bringing in out of those two?
I suspect he might bring Ekdal back in after playing well at Norwich. I suspect.
Yeah.
But he's got options there. I think in terms of the forward players, I think you'd like to see Azzurri start, Teller start. Benson, we think, probably will be available. I think he's more likely to have a role from the bench.
Yeah, that's
more likely. And then who do you play up front? I think probably Ashley Barnes. I think the way Ashley Barnes has played, he was making space for other players, had a really good game down at Norwich. I think he obviously came on and had a bit of a cameo role right at the end in the cup game against Ipswich. But I think he probably starts for me on Saturday.
Yeah, I tend to agree, actually. I think that I'm forgetting what number reincarnation we're on of Ashley Barnes at the moment, but he's doing everything we ask him to, Adam. Charlotte touched on this earlier on in the show. Those of the viewers who are watching the show through YouTube will have missed this section, but podcast listeners will have heard this. Ashley Barnes, every time he gets a sniff of being written off, he's proves us wrong, and he comes back again. And all we can say to you is that he consistently tries to learn, he tries to improve himself, and even at this stage in his career he's carrying on doing, and I think at the moment he's probably first to start. Do you agree?
Yeah, and I didn't think I'd be in a position where I'd be saying that again, especially earlier on this season, before obviously his Blackburn heroics, and even like over the last year or two I've thought he were finished. But he's really rolling back at the ears at the moment, and he showed how good he can be on the ball at Norwich. I thought, obviously, yeah, he was strong, but he was dropping deep in that number 10 behind Teller quite a lot in the first half and spraying balls about, and just, yeah, he looked back to his 2017-18 best. And he just looks like he's really enjoying playing with this young, hungry group of players, and they seem to love him as well. Just the pictures of him running away, celebrating that first goal with Teller and Zaruri. It's you just need to see it. And like I said, I think he's got to be first choice at the moment. Jay's been a bit in and out with injury and obviously not scored for a while. But I don't think goals are as important now. And I've always put the emphasis on goals for strikers, particularly for Burnley. I think he's only scored those two against Blackburn in the league this season. I thought he scored some cup goals, I think, but it doesn't really matter because it just creates space for other players. And I still think he was a bit shaky early on, but right now I think he's got to start.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right, Dev, I'm going to come to you first with this one, and don't be giving me no 1-1 crap, please. Bearing in mind, they've been a bit shy in front of goal of Preston. They seem to be all right, particularly away from home defensively, but they're not particularly free-flowing scorers. I want you to give me a prediction, please, a score prediction ahead of the game.
Well, as we know, form often goes out of the window for Derby games, so I'm going to predict a comfortable Burnley win, 2-0.
Yes, there you go. Well done. You see, you've got it in you, Dave.
You've got the centre.
You've got it. You've got it in you. This is recorded. I'm very much going to hold you to this. Adam, same to you, please. Can I have a score prediction?
I'm going to stick to what I was going to say before, even though Dave said it, 2-0.
2-0. Excellent. Well, your Brommers bankers this week, for those of you who do like to have a little cheeky flutter on my score prediction, which did come true for the West Brom game. Now, if you are going to do this, listeners, please, A, gamble responsibly. Better still, please use either a free bet or just do it friendly, or don't do it at all, because I very rarely get these wrong. Very rarely get them wrong. I always get them wrong. Very rarely get these right. But my Brommers bankers for Burnley against Preston is going to be Burnley 3, Preston 0. Before we let our listeners go and we move away from the preview of that Preston game, Dave, you do have a miscellaneous stat for us, please. Why don't you dive deep into those pockets of yours and give our viewers and our listeners your miscellaneous stat of the week?
Yeah, Burnley's victory over Norwich City at Carrow Road was our 9th consecutive league victory. And if you think that sounds impressive, you'd be right, as the club has only ever achieved 9 consecutive league wins on 2 other occasions. They were in 1991, when Jimmy Mullen took over initially as caretaker manager before being given the role permanently. And we won our first 9 league games with him in charge in the 4th division before a 1-1 draw at home to Scunthorpe United. The other occasion, as you've mentioned earlier, Natalie, was back in the 1912-13 season. That run was 10 consecutive league wins. There was actually a run of 11 because there was a cup game in there as well. Obviously, we can't go for that.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
The league ones we are. But Burnley, as you said, could equal that milestone with a victory this Saturday. And we also need to score at least 1 goal on Saturday to equal another club record of scoring in 27 consecutive league games. We've done 26 already. 27 is the club record which has stood since 1926. So we could equal that as well.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. That is a good stat. Well, there you are, listeners. That is our preview of this weekend's championship fixture. It's Burnley versus North End at Turf Moor. Can the Claretts equal their club record? Can they equal Norwich's championship record of 10 consecutive wins on the bounce? And can the Claretts take one step closer to promotion, the Championship and the Premier League? We will find out. Adam, we are going to hand over to you, please. Are you going to give us an FPL update in readiness for game week? What game week are we on? Game week 22, please.
Yeah, last week was game week 22. So we're going into game week 22 this weekend. Starting off with your team of the week, which is in an unconventional 5-2-3 formation and would have scored you a massive 142 points. In goal, Kepa carried on his great run of form, highest scoring goalkeeper since the World Cup break, with a clean sheet, a save point and 3 bonus points in Chelsea's 0-0 draw with Fulham. He's only 4.6 million, so still a cheap option. Couple of familiar names in defence. You've got James Tarkowski with a goal in Dyche's first game in charge, Everton. A clean sheet and three bonus points in their 1-0 shock win over Arsenal. We love to see it. And again, he's only 4.2 million. And Everton have a double game week coming up in 25. And they also don't blank in 28 when the FA Cup causes a load of blank fixtures. And he's got some good fixtures in between. So a really good option at the moment, Tarke. Alongside him in defence, Ben Mee, also on the score sheet. And with a clean sheet and a bonus point in Brentford's 3-0 win over Southampton. Joining him from Brentford is Rico Henry with an assist in that game. And then two Wolves players complete the back five. It is, I was going to say Michael Dawson then. Craig Dawson with a goal and clean sheet again in Wolves' 3-0 win against Liverpool. And Kilman with an assist and a clean sheet and two bonus points in the same game. And again, those two are only, they're less than 5 million. Both have a double game week in 25 and have Southampton, Wolves have Southampton, Bournemouth and Fulham before that. So good options at the moment. Into midfield, just the two, both Man United players from their double game week at home to Palace and Leeds. Rashford with two goals, an assist and three bonus points, giving him 20 points, top scorer for the week. And he was my triple captain, so very thankful to Mr. Rashford this week. And they play again against Leeds this weekend and have Leicester the week after that before blanking in 25. And then alongside him in midfield, Fernandes, a goal and three bonus points, giving him 12 points this week. Up front, three strikers, Iheanacho from Leicester with a goal, two assists and three bonus points in Leicester's 4-2 win at Villa. But just to watch out, they've got Spurs, United and Arsenal as the next three. And Mbeumo from Brentford, another one from Brentford with a goal and an assist in their win against Southampton. And completing the lineup for this week is Willie Nonto from Leeds, who had a double game week against Forest and Man United. They didn't win either of them, got a point at United last night, but he did get a goal and three bonus points. And he's only 5 million, and they have Southampton at home in blank game week 25. Do you want me to give you a league update, rundown of the top 10 managers?
Yes. Yes, I do, Adam. Sorry, go on. Give us a league update.
Yeah, I was going to give you a top 10, but for reasons soon to be revealed, I'm going to give you the 11 top managers at the moment in the No Name Ever League. So in joint 10th are Joe Bailiff and me. So I wasn't going to not give you a top 10.
Busted, Adam Dennett. Busted. Yeah.
Technically 11th, but I'm having it just in case I don't get another one for the rest of the season.
I'll let you have that. Given the hard.
And then joint 8th place are Rupert Booth and Joseph Golby on 1,411 points. 7th, Jack Greenalsh with 1,412 points. 6th, Alice Flanagan with 1,414 points. As you can see, it's very, very close in the top 10. 5th, Craig Smith with 1,417 points. 4th, Daniel Shepherd, 1,425 points. 3rd, Alex Maxwell, 1,437 points. 2nd, Tom Deanian, 1,442 points. And still in the lead is Brad Banks on 1,447 points. Just a few pointers as we're going to a critical point in the season now. So City and Arsenal both have double game weeks this week as they play each other midweek next week. The best two City assets at the moment are probably Riyad Mahrez and Erling Haaland. The defence is getting rotated like mad, and even safe players like Kevin De Bruyne have been rotated recently. Haaland is a triple captain option as he's been on fire, 25 goals this season. And with a double game week, I don't think I could blame you for putting the armband on him. Arsenal, probably the best players, Odegaard, Saka and Nketiah. I'd probably try and have a triple up of Arsenal players if you can, because they've got another double game week coming up in 25 and they also play in the blank game week 28. So as I've mentioned previously, game week 25 is a double for four teams and a blank for four teams. Blanking are Man United, Newcastle United, Brentford and Brighton, as United and Newcastle face off in the League Cup final. And doubling that week are Arsenal, Liverpool, Wolves and Everton. So there's still time to gradually take players that blank out and replace them with some double game week players. You've got three weeks until the first blank. Like I said, it's a critical time in the season. And if possible, we're looking for two or three keen FPL players to go through how they plan to navigate the upcoming blank and double game weeks and share any advice for the rest of the season. We've had previous winners Luke Lambert and then other keen FPL player and Sean Danaher, who won it the year before, and keen FPL player Sean Rette has come on to do similar features with us in the past. So if you're near the top of the current No Name Ever standings or would like to be involved, then contact us on Twitter, Facebook, or by email. And just a final note to say the Game Week 23 deadline is this Saturday, the 11th of February at 11 a.m.
Lovely. While we're on air, while you were talking through them, I did actually open my app and remember that I was supposed to. I already have Haaland as captain anyway, so that's really good. But I've just got rid of... I had Cancelo in there, who was on a season-long loan somewhere else. Didn't realise he was in my team, so I better get rid of him. And I've brought Saliba in on your advice to put Arsenal players in there. So I've brought Saliba in. And I've also sold Jesus because he's still injured. And I've bought... who did I buy? Havertz from...
Yeah, that's fine. Chelsea. Yeah, good moves. You'll be moving up that league in no time.
There you go. You heard it here first, listeners. I will be winning the known and ever FPL League. You noticed I didn't ask where I was, but then that's fine. Right, let's round off this jam-packed podcast. Dave, you've actually remembered this time. You've done your job. I'm very proud of you. Well done. What have you set our listeners for their quiz question this week?
Yes, the return of the quiz question. A nice and easy one this time, hopefully. Can you name the three Burnley players who have scored at least twice for the Claretts against Preston North End in matches at Turf Moor since the year 2000? And if you were paying attention earlier, we did mention most or all of those.
Oh, see, this is the point where you rewind the podcast and listen again, listeners. How do our listeners please submit their answers, Dave?
You can email us, previewshow@nonainever.net, or contact us on Twitter @nonainever, preferably by direct message so no one sees your answer.
Excellent stuff. Well, that is all we have time for, listeners. My thanks as ever go to everybody who has contributed to this episode, particularly my colleagues Dave and Adam for giving up their time tonight to be on here, and Charlotte for joining us at the beginning of the show. We will be back next week with another bumper-packed episode where we will look at whether or not the Claretts have got a record-breaking season and whether or not they are one step closer to the Premier League. I've been Natalie Bromley. Until next time. The Known and Ever podcast is brought to you in association with the TalkSport Fan Network. Natalie Bromley is the host and editor, and the show is produced by Matt Moss. Our resident statistician is Dave Roberts, and our FPL expert is Adam Dennett. The analysis show team is collectively Tom Whittaker, Richard Steele, George Poole, Charlotte Rigby, Adam Dennett, and Robbie Kopak. Our music is provided by George Gaskill, and our newsletter team is headed up by Jamie Smith. If you don't already, you can subscribe to our newsletter by visiting nonainever.substack.com. Our thanks as ever go to our partners TalkSport. We are, as ever, proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.